May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 554. Though we walk through this wilderness, God's promise is our stay. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. Hymn 554.
Thank you. the holy word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in the Gospel of Mark, reading part of chapter 14. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Then we'll read from verse 22 to verse 50. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 22 to verse 50. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine, until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, and James, and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his sacred and solemn word of truth. And may he help us to pray. O thou most holy, almighty, and eternal God, we pray, Lord, for thy presence amongst us and within us to be known and felt here this night. Lord, without thee, we can do nothing that is acceptable before thee. But we pray, Lord, for those softened, contrite hearts and spirit to be poured out before thee in humble confession of our sinfulness and our need of thy great mercy. We thank thee, Lord, we can come once again and gather ourselves together around thy holy word of truth. Lord, we've read a sacred portion. Lord, the sufferings of Christ under the burden of sin imputed to him in that garden. And the laying down of his life into the hands of those wicked ones, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. O Lord, we thank thee that the scriptures have been fulfilled, that a way has been made where sinners such as we can yet have a hope of eternal life. We pray, Lord, for needed faith. We pray for the quickening work of thy Spirit. We pray for that leading unto the cross of Christ, convinced of sin and led to Jesus' blood. Lord, may that be the testimony of us each, called by grace out of our nature's darkness inherent within us, into the light of the knowledge of the truth, as it is in Jesus. Lord, do hear the many prayers that are put up to thee to this end. And Lord, the prayers to be kept. Kept, Lord, in that sweet, sacred place at the footstool of thy mercy. Casting all our care upon thee. And to know thou doth care for us. Lord, there are many burdens laid upon thy people. The trials of faith. And Lord, the continual sinfulness still within the heart. But O Lord, may we ever prove that sacred word that where sin abounds, thy grace doth much more abound. And when, Lord, we are tempted and tried, O thou hast said, thou shalt be the strength of thy people. Thou wilt never leave them nor forsake them. And thou art that way by which, Lord, we can cast all our care and roll our burdens upon thee. Knowing, Lord, that thou hast put away all our faults and all our failings, and hath prepared us through that sin atoning blood to stand before thy face. So, Lord, may we ever find, Lord, that we have that good hope through thy grace, sinners saved by thy grace, and to grow in thy grace. And the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. O Lord, be with us at all times, in all places, in every pathway of our lives. And as we've sung in our opening hymn, may we prove thee going before us. Lord, to lead us, teach us and guide us in that way that is everlasting. Sanctifying our pathway, Lord, the practical things of our lives, Lord, use them, that in them there may be teaching for us concerning, O thy almighty power, thy holiness, Lord, thy sovereignty, the sweetness of thy love. Oh, do hear the prayers, Lord, that are put up to thee from each needy soul. Lord, ones that are in particular troubles and in need. And they cast, Lord, those matters before thee. We pray thou wilt make no tarrying. But, Lord, do work all things together for good, the good of their souls, to the honour and glory of thy name. And for the furtherance of the gospel. Would you remember the children and the young people? Lord, may they grow in thy grace, called into the knowledge of thy pardoning love. Lord, we do pray thou wilt keep them from all harms and dangers and every evil. And may that desire be within them, Lord, to search the Scriptures. For in them is the way of everlasting life. And they testify of Jesus. O Lord, do give them more than head knowledge of thy truth. Open their hearts, Lord, to receive that blessing of thy word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Of their pardon sealed and peace with God. Lord, to know that they are thine and thou art theirs. And so raise from amongst them, Lord, those who will testify of that sacred truth, that mercy unto their souls. And build up, Lord, thy visible church upon this earth. Oh, that there's those people bound together in the knowledge of thy love, determined to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh Lord, may that be the blessing here upon the church here and in this place. Lord, to raise up more to testify of what thou hast done for their soul. Not only younger people, Lord, we pray for older ones also. Where the lips have been silent, the tongue has been still. Lord, is there nothing that can be said? Nothing that can be testified? Lord, thou knowest. Oh, to give those exercises of heart to praise thee and to give thee all the honour and all the glory that thou hast, what thou hast bestowed, Lord, within their heart, upon their pathway. Lord, of thy great goodness and tender mercies. We ask then, Lord, the blessing of thy word that is read and preached here. Lord, we do pray that it will not return unto thee void, but it shall ever accomplish that which thou doth please. It will ever prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it. Remember those unable to be here tonight, who would be here if they could. Lord, there is much sickness and affliction at this time, so often in the earlier part of a year. We pray, Lord, for thy healing touch. We pray, Lord, for swift recovery of those whom mourn being kept from the courts of thy house. O Lord, we do pray that they will soon be able to return. Lord, do hear their prayers, the prayers of others for them. And may the glory be unto thy name. Lord, we pray thou wilt help us in all our duties and responsibilities. Lord, there are many things that press upon us day by day, hour by hour. And Lord, we have to confess that thou art not in all our thoughts. And Lord, we can easily, and we do easily, backslide, go our own way, and we do not commit our way unto thee as we should. We look to our own wisdom, to our own understanding, to our own intellect. We determine and plan our own ways, our own schemes. And we look for earthly prosperity alone. Oh Lord, do have mercy upon us. Keep us looking unto Jesus. Oh Lord, do keep us in the knowledge that the things of this earth, they are temporal. And we must handle them, we must deal with them, we must be wise stewards. We must labour, Lord, to eat our bread. And Lord, these things have to be attended to, but Lord, do not let us lose sight of thy saving grace, that which is vital for the eternal life of our souls. Jesus is the one thing needful. We without him must perish. O Lord, whoever keep that knowledge that, within us and keep us from sin. Lord, keep us from outward transgressions that can bring dishonour and disgrace upon thy name and upon thy cause of truth. Oh, do not let us be left to be tempted, Lord, and persuaded to go the ways of the wicked. For our hearts are very weak within us, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Lord, we have no strength at all, and Satan knows how to try us. Lord, do keep the young people from all the enticements and the temptations that lie before them. Oh, Lord, put thine arms about them and keep them to thy side. Lord, may there be in this evil day, in this evil nation, thy people that still, Lord, look unto thee. call thee, Christ, the Redeemer, blessed, because of the knowledge of thy redeeming love. O Lord, maintain thine hold upon our land, upon the churches. Do not let the powers of the ungodly have the rule over us. Lord, do not let us become subject to others, even of other lands, to have the rule and power contrary to our Protestant faith and Protestant constitution. Lord, yet still have mercy upon us. And in this year, Lord, which is before us, O Lord, do work our things together for the good of thy people. And Lord, we pray for the good of our nation, undeserving that we are. Lord, still maintain us under thy great mercy. Do not pour out all thy wrath, but Lord, if it is thy chastening upon us because of our many sins and our vile affections to that which is abominable in thy sight, then, Lord, turn those chastising for good and make us again a nation of whom thou art our God. Raise up and send out more labourers in the harvest, to preach those unsearchable riches. And may that word, Lord, be like arrows into the hearts of sinners to convince them of sin. O Lord, do lead to thy blood still, and may the whole world be able to see, Lord, thou art yet the God of this nation, and they shall honour and glorify thy name. Pardon, Lord, our own many sins, Lord, for we're not worthy ourselves of the least of thy mercies. Yet, Lord, do bestow it all. Grant us now, Lord, forgiveness for sins in our prayers. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 788. Come, ye humble sinner train, souls for whom the Lamb was slain. Cheerful let us raise our voice, we have reason to rejoice. Let us sing with saints in heaven, life restored and sin forgiven. Glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. Hymn 788.
Thank you.
Dear friends, there's been a word upon my spirit since I was with you last Friday evening. And we find it in the psalm that we read last Friday evening. Psalm 96. And what an agreement this word has with the hymn we've just sung. Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. The word so much laid upon me is those last words. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Dear friends, the psalmist, led by the Spirit of God, is exhorting the praise of God. And this word is not only an exhortation, we might say, but a command. Show forth his salvation from day to day. That means, dear friends, every day, without exception, we're to show the salvation of God. Declare what he has done. A witness in our conduct in life, in our thoughts, our deliberations, in our words, our conversations, and our actions. All things are to show forth the salvation of God. Day by day. Dear friends, what a standard. How else can we live unto Christ? When we consider this word, salvation, salvation means to be delivered from the danger of death, destruction, and despair. Now, in our earthly lives, we may have many evidences of salvation in physical ways and physical means. No doubt we all at times become sick, and sometimes serious sickness, sickness that threatens our lives, our natural lives. And we resort to medication and to the medical profession. And dear friends, if we come into a disease or a sickness, an injury, what threatens our life, and the medication is used to deliver us from that, from death, or the operation we have at the hands of the surgeon, then that has been a salvation, hasn't it? We've been saved. Because the consequence of that sickness, of that disease, from death, destruction and despair. Some of you might be quite adventurous, particularly if you're younger. And we read, don't we, of some who go out on an adventure, venturing into places like mountains and hills, ranges, and perhaps in forests, tropical forests, and perhaps deserts. and they lose their way. They don't know which way to take. And under the elements round about them, the environment, it threatens that they may soon die. Those who have great knowledge of those areas, the mountains, the forests, or whatever it is, the deserts, they go out to search for those who are lost. And when they find them, they lead them by the right way to that habitation, again, of where they can find rest, security, food, drink, delivered, saved. They've known in a physical way the means of salvation for their bodies and minds. We often hear, perhaps in time go back, in history of great shipwrecks where the boats have been caught in the storms and dashed towards rocks and the call for help goes up. And there are those assembled on the land and go out in the lifeboats and take those who are struggling, threatened with death, from the stricken ship. That's their salvation, isn't it? Salvation from death, destruction and despair. Yeah, perhaps we can go on. There's many forms of salvation in our daily lives. Someone might be in debt. They have got not the means to pay, and it brings them into great trouble. If one comes along and pays that debt for them, everything they owe, that's a salvation, isn't it? Of course, we have that lovely parable which Jesus told, which is called the Good Samaritan, of that one who was left half dead, having been robbed and stricken by those robbers, who could do nothing for himself, only lie there suffering, ready to die. And that Samaritan came along and did for him everything he could, pouring in oil and wine, laying upon his own beast and taking him to an inn, and there took care of him. Now, dear friends, that in the first and foremost was a practical exhortation. Of course, the lawyer had said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbour?" And Jesus told that parable and asked him at the end, "Who was neighbour unto him that fell among thieves? Him that had mercy upon him. Go and do thou likewise." But there's that lovely spiritual application, isn't there, of the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to do that which the priest and the Levite, that signifying the law, could not do and would not do, because they, in touching such a one, would be unclean and, oh, contrary to the law. But this man of grace, who came and did all that was needful for that poor one, half dead, to restore him to life, he was that poor man's salvation, wasn't he? And although there might be many, many means in natural life of salvation, when we come to spiritual salvation, there is only one way. Only one way. The salvation of our soul from death, destruction, and despair. Not the first death, which is the death of our bodies. That's the natural death, which we shall all face at some stage. It's appointed unto us each, isn't it, once to die. And after that, the judgment. And dear friends, after the judgment, for those who die in their sins, there is the second death. Death, great destruction, great despair of that eternal damnation in hell. Where one knows the pain of death forever in that burning lake of fire. Dear Francis, we can hardly imagine what it is like. We can't imagine what it's like, can we? And yet that's the wrath of God. The wrath of God on account of sin for those who've served Satan all their days and have never been delivered from his power. And dear friends, such an end is before us each, and we know not when. Yes, we've begun a new calendar year. I suppose for the most part we've made many plans, many schemes, and expecting to see the end of it. But who can tell? Oh, first and foremost, isn't it? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. It is something we cannot do for ourselves. Being born in sin, shapen in iniquity, we are dead in trespasses and in sin spiritually. Adam was created a living soul. But Adam sinned, and Eve sinned. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. They became dead spiritually in trespasses and in sins. And if we continue as we are born in the image of Adam, we shall die in our sins. Dear friends, these are very solemn considerations, aren't they? And we ever need to consider them, what we are, before a holy God. How we need to pray, the Lord will teach us what we are. Because our own hearts within us, which are deceitful, they will not teach us. Or they will show us our righteousnesses. And dear friends, I hope there is with you many righteousnesses in the outward form of obedience to the word of God. Perhaps I spoke on this on Friday, I cannot tell. But our righteousnesses, which we should do, those kindnesses and concerns one for another, those helps, giving the time of need and so forth. Dear friends, they are going as far as the help one to another for our own earthly benefits, for the benefits of others. And we should do those things. It's of the will of God. But they don't extend to our righteousness, which is needed to stand before the Father's face. We are yet dead in our sins. The scripture tells us that not one of our righteousnesses can blot out one of our transgressions. We are all as an unclean thing, and those righteousnesses are as filthy rags, because our unclean hearts, which affect our whole being, cannot bring forth that which is clean and pure in the holy eyes of God. When we cannot contemplate the solemnity of that judgment of God, we cannot contemplate rightly, can we, the holiness of God. Therefore, of ourselves, We are without hope. Hope of eternal life. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his precious promise. Thanks be unto God for his faithfulness in bringing forth that promise, whereby the power of sin, the power of Satan, shall be overcome. And a way is made where a sinner such as you and such as me can be delivered from the wrath of God to come for sin, and be delivered in the day of judgment from that solemn damnation, and be called up higher to be with Christ, which is far better. Now that's salvation. Salvation through the gift of God in this man who was born as a babe in Bethlehem, the man Christ Jesus. Well, we read, don't we, in Hebrews concerning mankind, man, women, all of us. The Lord has made us a little lower than the angels, given us power over all the creatures of the earth, the highest of his creation. But we do not see yet all things put under him. The power of sin is not under us, is it? We are under the power of sin in our nature. But we see Jesus. Oh, how sweet those words. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angel. That little means little in time. Made in little in time, lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. Made like unto his brethren. All those whom the Father would give to him to pay the price for their sin from the beginning of time to the end of time. Made flesh and blood. Now, dear friends, there's no doubt that Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, was made man, born of a woman. You know, there's much controversy of late, hasn't there been, said about the nature of Jesus Christ upon this earth. There's no doubt he was a man. The scripture says he will be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. When he was upon this earth, many looked to him and spoke to him of this man. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves can obey him? He was made flesh and blood. He had the emotions of a man. He wept. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was tired. And he also had a soul. We read of it in that portion we read tonight, didn't we? My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. The fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 53, isn't it? I think we read of it, is it three times there? It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied, because he poured out his soul unto death. Dear friends, there's no doubt that Jesus was a man. But the great controversy seems to be over what is called the humanity of Christ. Now that had not ought to be a controversy at all. We don't find the word human in the word of God at all. Human is a word which has come to pass. That which is human, which is means of Adam's race. Humans are born of Adam's race. We're born sinners, male and female. Jesus was not born a sinner. He was not born in sin and shape and in iniquity. His mother did not in sin conceive him. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And that child, that thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. That holy thing. So, dear friends, there's a distinction, isn't there? A distinction between that which is human and that which is of Christ. It's in our basic nature, how we were born. But Christ was made a man. He was made like unto the brethren. He had a soul upon which he would bear all the sins of his people. And he would suffer in their room, place, and stead. People do not worship that which is human. They worship the Son of God. And dear friends, if the word human is the word which is the controversy, it can easily be put away. There's no need for any aggressive argument. Oh, this man, the man Christ Jesus, who came to bear the sins of many, that the law under which they are guilty, under law which will be judged, under the law for which the price has got to be paid if they're to be set free from their due punishment. This man Christ Jesus came to be the propitiation for the sins, the wrath of God upon him, the wrath-bearing sacrifice, that his people may go free. Paul, writing to the Hebrews, speaks so sweetly of this man. He speaks of the priests, of the Jewish dispensation, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. We read in Hebrews it was for the cleansing of the flesh. In other words, the outward form of sin. Where they had touched something unclean, if they had spoken a lie, if they had done something against the law to another or whatever it was. Dear friends, outwardly, bringing a sacrifice to the priest of the blood of a bull, of a lamb, of a goat, they could be forgiven and continue on as clean amongst the Jews in the outward form. But nothing of that took away the sin of the soul. That sin which was under the law before the eyes of Almighty God. They were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And they sinned and sinned and sinned again. And that sin would never be blotted out by those outward performances. They were the type of that which was to come. And so he says, But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. But this man. Oh, dear friends, this is him, isn't it? In whom our hope depends of eternal life. Oh, to know and to be able to give application and practical and spiritual attention to this exhortation. Show forth his salvation from day to day. We perhaps read at the time of the birth of Christ, of that man Simeon. Dear friend, what a favoured man it was. We read he was just and devout, waiting for the constellation of consolation, of Israel, the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the promised Messiah. We read the Holy Ghost was upon him. Oh, dear friends, what a precious gift, the Holy Ghost. You see, it is through this means, this gift of God, that we come to know our soul's salvation. Paul to the Ephesians, the Gentile church, they were born dead in trespasses and in sin. But of those for whom the word of God came in power, in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, oh, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace he is saved. Quickened us together with Christ. I mentioned Adam was born a living soul, but he sinned, became dead. And we are dead in trespasses and sin. But Christ, the second Adam, became a quickening spirit. He was born without sin. But through bearing the sins of many, he blotted out that chose transgression. Their sins to be remembered no more. And by that grace we are saved. And only by that grace. And that grace which is revealed in us by the Spirit, through that precious grace of faith. Grace ye are saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Then, dear friends, when we come to desire to covet the best gifts, as the Scripture exhorts us to, what should those best gifts be? Well, as we grow up, I know when I was younger, I had many thoughts of what I wanted and considered to be the best gift. That would help me and ease me and cause me to prosper in this life. But that which is of our flesh is temporal and will perish. But the gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. That they that believe on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And this is the meaning when Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just earthly, physical life. And his goodness, yes, displayed towards us, we trust. His mercy continue. We have much to be thankful for. But that aspect upon our soul of life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, believed on by faith, the gift of the Spirit to reveal Christ in us, the hope of glory. So there's an exhortation, isn't there, for all of us. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Oh, make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. No man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord except thou take the veil away and breathe the living word. Simeon was such a favoured one, wasn't he? His salvation was not in him being just and devout, fulfilling the law with all the feasts and whatever it was demanded of him. He was given that exercise of soul and heart that he desired the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Saviour of sinners, the seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head. The fulfillment of those words of Abraham, my God, my son, God shall provide himself a lamb. One in whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. And the Lord spoke to Simeon in answer to his desire that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Oh, dear friends, what a promise. Dear friends, that's what we want to hear, isn't it? That before we pass away, before we come to that judgment day, we shall have seen the Lord Christ. Now Simeon saw Jesus with his mortal eyes. But he saw Jesus more than with his mortal eyes. He was led by the Spirit at that particular time into the temple. Simeon had probably seen many children brought there by mothers and fathers to fulfill that which was required of the law after those 40 days for the cleansing of the mother after she'd given birth. But coming at that time and seeing this particular baby, it was revealed to him. Here was the salvation of sinners. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He could now die in peace. What a revelation. All his sins, all his hope, centered upon this babe. All his desires were there. This young babe, who he saw would grow to suffer and pay the price for sin, his own sin. Dear friends, what revelation we need, don't we, by the Holy Ghost. Oh, do not cease to pray for the Holy Ghost to reveal Christ in us. Not with our mortal eyes of we have seen the Lord, but by faith. You know, those disciples, well, we read much about the disciples. They saw Jesus, didn't they? They saw him for the order of 3 years, from whence they were called to be disciples. They saw the miracles that he did. They saw they heard the parables which he spoke, and he opened the truth to them. But when Christ was taken in that garden, of what we've read tonight, dear friends, they all forsook him and fled. Oh, how bold they'd been when they left the upper room and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter expressing their desire, oh, if he would die, he would never be offended. Yet the disciples, under the fear of man, when Christ was taken, they forsook him and fled. And Peter, when he was accused through the fear of man, the fear of his life, forsook the truth of his Lord and Saviour. Oh, dear friends, how low we can easily become, can't we, under temptations and trials. What turned them about? It was a view of the risen Saviour. This dying Son of God, upon whom all the sins of his people was laid, the power he had, in him all dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was ever God. And therefore in the power of the Godhead, came in to do that which was the will of the Godhead, the will of the Father, in the power of the Spirit, to lay down his life. Power then to take it again. The world, the earth, sin, Satan couldn't hold him. my righteous son, my righteous servant, sorry, shall justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. And all that revelation, that proves the joy, wasn't it, in their hearts? Poor Thomas wasn't there, was he? But don't blame Thomas. They were all doubters until they saw the Lord Christ risen from the dead. When the women said, "Who is risen from the tomb?" they didn't believe them, did they? They counted them as idle tales. But when the fullness was revealed to them, "Oh, my Lord and my God," says Thomas, they fell before him. They then knew all the truth concerning Jesus. And then, oh, what a change came to their lives. They then served him, didn't they? Night and day, to the praise and honour glory of his name. They showed forth his salvation from day to day. Now, dear friends, we haven't seen the Lord Jesus with our mortal eyes. But the Lord Jesus has prayed for those who shall believe on him, believe on himself, through the word which is preached unto them. Jesus said to Thomas, "Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed." And he's prayed that those who believe on him, through the receiving of the preached word, and they shall be one, even as Christ and the Father are one, eternally one, one with Jesus. Just as those disciples were now made one in the knowledge of the truth, and to walk out that truth in their lives from that day forward. Dear friends, this is the way everlasting, isn't it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, seeking to serve him in spirit, seeking to do his will, to walk humbly with our God. "He hath showed thee, O man, that which is good. What doth he require of you but to love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly with thy God?" Dear friends, to walk humbly with our God is to obey all of his revealed will. Otherwise, you're not truly with God, are we? Oh, the sense of this pardoning love through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, it humbles a soul. What are the evidences of such a work of grace within our heart and soul? Well, dear friends, there are several. One of them is sin becomes exceedingly sinful. You see, through this wisdom and given to you in the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit, we look upon Jesus by faith. We look upon him whom we have pierced. We have pierced. He died for us. And we mourn then over sin. We mourn over this Jesus. Dear friends, this glorious salvation he's wrought. Oh, it hurts us when we still transgress through the evilness of our hearts and minds. More so than we've ever done before. Now, is that a case with you? Or do you look upon sin lightly? There's never ever been a change. Or do pray for the teaching of the Spirit. But dear friends, where you know that great burden of the sin in your heart, and you constantly don't, you have to go to the throne of grace, ever to obtain mercy and grace to help you in the time of your need. When you're tempted, when you're tried, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, undertake for me." Those short, urgent prayers, they're forced from you, aren't they? Because you fear God. You fear that you'll fall from that grace because of what you are by nature. Another evidence is this. We know we've passed from death unto life in that we love the brethren. We love the brethren. You know, dear friends, as many of the Lord's people, we certainly wouldn't love me now by nature. But all our different characters, all our different thoughts and our different feelings of one way and another, and oh, there's no way we could be even perhaps friends together. Because their way is different to our ways, their thoughts different to our thoughts, and so on. But dear friends, under the influence of the Spirit, dear friends, there's a love of the brethren because of the love of Christ to the soul. There's that unity of the Spirit. There's a bond of peace. And the unity is determined to know nothing amongst us save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child play on the hair on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The knowledge of the love of Christ that blots out all our transgressions, who has made that way of salvation for us, where we can look on and look up and look beyond the things of time to what he's prepared for us. Different, the unity of the Spirit. Now, dear friends, day by day show forth his salvation. Oh, dear friends, how we need, don't we, to ever have the praise of God within our hearts, within our minds, upon our lips. And the third evidence, your desire to keep his commandments. It'll be your longing desire, dear friends, to do all that is pleasing to the Lord. We read, didn't we, in that portion we read, the very first few verses of Mark 14, which we read in verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. He said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. There's the salvation, isn't there? His body broken, the slain lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the acceptable sacrifice, the only acceptable sacrifice before a holy God, and that cup, the wrath of God, that he drank right up on Calvary's cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That all those for whom he died would never be forsaken. They would drink of the cup of his love, his redeeming love. Called into the way of salvation. Dear friends, this is the gospel. If it wasn't for such a gospel, dear friends, you and I wouldn't have any purpose in being here tonight, would we? This gospel is not this is, which is just something formal and outward and custom and practice and physical. It's something, dear friends, what affects our spirit, our soul. To know my Jesus crucified. To by far excel all things beside. And another one, I could from all things parted be, but never ever, Lord, from thee. Dear friends, these are the evidences. that we are born of God, and that our treasure is above, and our desire to show forth his salvation from day to day. Oh, dear friends, to walk it out in his tender fear. And that's what manner of persons we ought to be. Oh, Peter speaks of the judgment of the last day, doesn't he? We don't know what it is. What manner of persons ought we to be? Dear friends, we're to show forth this salvation from day to day. And by that we grow in grace and the knowledge of his love. Oh, we walk humbly before him, submissive to his will. And dear friends, all the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. No, we'll never leave you nor forsake you. We will supply all your need. Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Dear friends, what better? Sure defense from sin and the power of the enemy and all that comes against us. We can lay it all upon him, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, who hath given his Christ for the sake of our soul. Casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. One thing just comes to me in closing. We read of those who feared God. They spake often one to another. Friends, they didn't speak about the weather and all the other things earthly. They spoke of the goodness and mercy of God that followed them all the days of their life. They spoke of that which he called them, although they deserved his wrath. He'd called them into the knowledge of his most marvellous might, of his marvellous light. And he was with them in all places, whithersoever they went. And he was the helper and the supplier of their need. He was ever the forgiver of their sins. They spake often one to another. And that book of remembrance was written before him. He says of these, they shall be mine when I make up my jewels. These are the ones who are saved by my grace. These are ones who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, which is ready to be revealed in that last day. And dear friends, suffer the exhortation. Look unto Jesus. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me. Make me, Saviour, make me feel all my soul's delight in thee. Hymn 990.
Thank you.
our gathering together this night not have been in vain. Apply the truth of thy word, Lord, to each of our hearts, and give us those exercises, Lord, that glory in thy name, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're able to say, I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for my sake he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. Then, Lord, as we've sung, those daily things will be to thine honour and be to thy glory, and we pray that our end will be everlasting peace. Lord, watch over us as we separate. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.